This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn, Julian and Xiaoning. Now, the Malaysian Trade Unions Congress Secretary General, Jay Solomon, has made some proposals for labour law reform, since the government is in the process of reviewing three key labour laws. Now, the laws being reviewed include the Trade Unions Act of 1959, the 1994 Occupational Safety and Health Act, as well as the 1967 Industrial Relations Act, as well as the Employment Act.
And some of the proposals that were made by Jay Solomon are very interesting. He wants to raise minimum wage from 2,000 a month to 10,000 ringgits for workers to be covered under the Employment Act 1955.
Yeah, because the current legislation only allows for the Employment Act to be for those individuals who earn less than 2,000 or who have certain job criteria. So, for example, if you're using heavy equipment or anything to do which has a dangerous element, then you are automatically covered under the Employment Act.
I think some of the other things some of the other proposals he's made also include increasing maternity leave from 60 days to 98 days, as well as paternity leave of 7 days. Now, for more insight here, we have Ali Salman, CEO of the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, or IDEAS. Thank you so much for joining us, Ali. Now, what are your thoughts on Jay Solomon's proposed labour law reforms?
Yeah, thank you. I think we have to take these proposed reforms in specific terms. I agree with the broader direction of these reforms as far as labour welfare is concerned. I think we can talk about specifics. So, for instance, I think it will be helpful if the maternity leave can be increased from 60 days to at least 90 days. Other countries have done it in the region, so there is no harm in increasing this facility. Also, for instance, the facility care for employers where 100-plus employees are working is quite possible. But some of these suggestions, for instance, using of unused sick leave towards hospitalization or adding a 15 minutes compulsory break after every 2 hours, I think are unnecessary. They may not be helpful labor productivity in general. So I would say that we have to take these suggestions seriously and have to evaluate these suggestions in terms of their impact.
In their current form, how does Malaysian legislation around labour compare to that of the more developed nations? What is lacking in our laws?
So when you say developed nations, we have to again unpack this notion. We understand that, for instance, in European context, the labor laws are pretty strict. The labor unions and the welfare costs are very high. And frankly, this is one reason associated with relatively high degree of unemployment in Europe. As compared with the U.S., again, there's a diversity. Within U.S., half states are implementing strict labor laws, compulsory labor unions, and half are not. So this needs to be related with Malaysian own context on per capita income and the situation of the firm on which these laws need to be implemented. And we cannot use this example of developed country as a blanket rule without understanding the dynamics of our own industry.
So, Ali, you mentioned compulsory labor unions as one of the methods that developed countries have chosen to go with. And that was one of the things that Jay Solomon suggested as well, making it mandatory for every worker to join a union, since currently union membership stands at only about 6% of the current workforce. So if this proposal was to go through, what are your thoughts on it? How would that change the employment landscape here in Malaysia?
So as I shared, not every developed country has this law, as there is a degree of diversity there. I would not favor a compulsory membership. I think this should be left to the choice of individual labor, individual employees, whether they want to adopt a particular union or not. And especially on the point of unionization in general, I would treat with caution here.
Thank you so much. And that was Ali Salman of Ideas giving his thoughts on the proposed labour law reforms put forward by the Secretary General of the Malaysian Trade Unions Congress. Now, the other news that has been in the that has been making headlines recently is Linus again, once again. And Fuzia Saleh, Kuantan MP, as well as vocal adversary of Linus, insists that the groundwater near the Linus factory is polluted. And she's argued that data taken over a 12-month period from September of 2015 showed that there was heavy metal contamination in the area.
And just a couple of weeks ago, the Water, Land and Natural Resources Minister, Dr. Xavier Jayakumar, said Linus Refinery in Pahang was no longer polluted by heavy metals. So that's a little bit of contradiction here. And Linus, of course, warmly welcomed the statement, naturally, adding that it is disappointing that anti-Linus activists are misleading claims about groundwater with the intent of creating fear and uncertainty in the community.
Yes, Linus also stressed that the government's Executive Review Committee report released in December 2018 did not suggest any contamination in the area. Although radioactive materials in Linus waste occurs naturally, Fosia argues that these materials are harmful because they have gone through mining and harsh chemical treatments.
Now, last month, Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad said in Japan that he expects that Malaysia will allow Linus to continue operations, but he suggested spreading out the waste instead of letting it concentrate in one area. Malaysia, of course, has interest in keeping Linus here as it represents a very significant investment. Linus is the only significant producer outside of China of rare earths, accounting for about 12% of global supply.
Yes, and Yeo Bi-yin, of course, is going to go to Australia to meet with the Minister of Mines, Bill Johnson, on June 20th. This is going to happen in Perth. Australia has stated that they will not re-accept the waste that is coming out of Malaysia. Yeo Bi-yin is making her last-ditch attempt to appeal against that. I think it's difficult for the Australian government to accept waste that are, you know, from a business point of view, that has been processed by other countries. But morally speaking, I think this has got a big impact on Malaysia. I don't think that we should take this lightly, and I would err on the side of Fuzia and saying that this is dangerous until we get more proof contrary to that belief.
Yeah, I think, you know, there is a case to be made for innocent until proven guilty. But at the same time, the level of danger posed by the potential contamination from Linus is quite high. And that definitely should be a consideration when it comes to how we address investigations further into the incident. Now, I'm actually quite interested in the supply of rare earths, because China controls over 70% of the world's production and meets about 80% of U.S. demand. Rare earth materials is a group of 17 obscure minerals, and they are used for all kinds of things, from speakers to night vision goggles to nuclear reactors. So I can see why Malaysia would want to keep Linus, that little 12% slice of the pie that we have already in the country.
Yes, and rare earths is now the new weapon in
that ongoing
U.S.-China trade war. As mentioned earlier, China is the largest producer of rare earths, up to 70%. And in the past, it was a business, actually, that a lot of developed countries did not want to participate in because of the byproducts, which were questionable in terms of its safety. So China was invested heavily. But themselves, China is also looking at all these anti-pollution issues. And so there is this question of who's going to make rare earths and what do you do with the subsequent waste?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a very divided question. It's dirty, it's polluting, but it's good for business. So where does a certain nation, even like Malaysia, a small country, where do we stand on that? If you look at the share price of Linus, it has benefited from actually Mahathir's statement. The share price shot up, but over the last 5 years, it has just tanked because of all the opposition to their operations here.
And all right, we are running into the 7:30 news, so be sure to stay tuned for more interesting discussions and analysis. After that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.